You're listening to DraftKings Network.
What's good, everybody? Yeah, we're going to get started here in a moment, recording the podcast. Is this the podcast? Probably not. I hope not.
I mean, I put it all in, so...
Okay.
You know, I never... What am I going to do? Delete specific parts out?
Oh, you know, actually try to edit and...
No, bro.
...curate a good product for our audience?
If we say it, it's a good product. That's the way I go about my business.
Michael Raymond asks, is there going to be a Cooligans Derby watch along? I guess we should do that for the final
only
game.
Only if it's important. If you guys beat Crystal Palace, I ain't trying to watch you guys just high five, talk about your fishing trips or whatever.
Bro,
Arsenal try to finish in fourth.
What are you afraid of, bro? Where's the confidence?
Gago's team, Racing, Argentina. That is not a Racing shirt, though.
No, it is. It's not. It's just an Adidas.
It's just pink and blue, baby.
That's it. Actually, I wore pink today. Well, not the blue has nothing to do with anything, but I'm officially an uncle today. I mentioned this last week, I think.
That's right.
My brother and his wife, they
were expecting, now no longer expecting. It has arrived.
It is. It's
a big ass stork showed up. That's how it works, right?
Yeah, that stork had a dump truck on it, bro.
That stork had a dork, my G. Yeah, that's right. We just said a bird has a big butt and a whale's penis.
Right.
Welcome to Cooligans.
This is the show, as always.
It doesn't get better than this.
So if anybody has any uncle advice that doesn't come from Alexis.
Oh, okay.
You didn't let me finish my sentence.
Yeah, my bad.
Because I'm trying to be a decent and good uncle. Okay?
That's right. Okay. I think I'm a pretty good uncle.
What makes you a good uncle?
First of all, I get called Funkle, which is great.
Okay.
The only other uncle is, you know, steals his toys because he's asked to buy heroin. So I think by default, I win fun uncle,
okay.
You know? But also, the kid loves me. He's turned a corner. He no longer likes his dad.
Okay, this is good.
He's never really been sure about his mom. And I got to be honest, that's my sister. None of us are, you know? We all think she's sus.
All right,
you know?
All right.
So he's now on Team Alexis as far as that's concerned. And the kid loves me, man, wants to hang out. He did this to me. Wait till this happens.
Okay.
Wait till this happens. He looks at me. We're all at dinner. And he looks at me and goes, I really want to go on a cruise. And I was like, yeah, we'll have fun. Yeah, I ain't going on no cruise, dog. I'm like, let's just go to somewhere cool. Why go on a cruise? Why go on Applebee's of the Sea when we can go to somewhere cool? Like, let's just go to Florida, Miami. And he goes, well, I want to go on a cruise. I've never been on one. And I was like, well, have fun. And then I'll see you when you get back. Or maybe I'll go to wherever that port of call is, and I'll be the dude chilling there, you know? And he looks at me and he goes, I thought it'd be really cool if you came too. And I grabbed him by the shirt and I go, you piece of shit. How did you do this to me? I'm going on this cruise now.
Wow.
Because you just, without even trying, guilted me right into it. I might be captain of this cruise boat by the end of this trip.
Is it like Carnival? What
he
kind
hasn't
of cruise?
Decided. He just said a cruise.
Wow. The Titanic?
Yeah, bro, that's what it's going to feel like.
Exciting. Okay. Well, look, if that's what it takes to get you to do stuff with your family, then, you know, that's good.
Why do I have to? That's my question.
You don't have to do anything, but there's consequences to any decision that you make in your life.
Ugh. Hear him, folks?
That's how life works.
There's consequences to making me go on a cruise, kid. Wait till you need that fake ID, my G.
Michael Raymond said, I buy books for my nephew. Okay. All right. Alexis, Alexis doesn't read books, so there's no way.
Someone invited us on a podcast where it's like it involves charity for children.
Right.
Part of it is you have to read a book to their kid.
Okay.
Or like read and I was like, are you supplying these books? And he's like, you don't know any kids' books? I was like, no, I don't know any kids' books. He's like, don't you have a nephew? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, you never read your nephew? I was like, no, I never read my nephew. What do you think I did with my life? No, I didn't read to my nephew.
Alexis,
and he goes, so you don't know any kids' books? I'm like, you should be worried if I knew kids' books. A guy who looks like me who's just perusing the kid bookshelves at your old Barnes & Noble? Not a good look.
This is, it is. The older we get, the more people can't even comprehend. Like, oh, you don't have no children, you have no family.
No, because now everyone else has had
exactly.
children.
Yeah,
And I'm still the guy who's like, who wants to go out?
Funkle over here.
And they're like, dude, it's 11 o'clock on a Tuesday. I'm like, I know, right? It's early, dude. Let's go. I think this was the biggest surprise when people saw the Paris trip pictures. It was just all alcohol and food and hanging out. And I'm like, yeah, we didn't have to go to one museum. I didn't have to wipe one chin. I didn't have to change any diaper. Well, just one diaper. But we're not going to talk about that. I paid extra for that. Like, nothing. Okay. We didn't have to do any kid stuff.
All right.
We got no kids, baby.
Look at that. The one Dylan said, Uncle Cruz coming to theaters in winter 2023. Yo,
Pele Carnival. I was actually talking to a comedian who does a lot of cruises. And I didn't know this. They breathalyze you if you're a comedian, because they don't want you drinking before your shows or too much after.
Oh, I thought because they didn't want you driving the boat.
They wanted to make sure. Hey, let's get real close to that iceberg. Like, no, this didn't work out well.
I got it. I swear.
Yo, chill, fam. Why are you screaming? Yo, shut that alarm off. I feel like it's going to cause an issue.
Who the hell brought all these kids on this boat? Yeah, what is it?
Get them off me. Yo, when you say women and kids first, you mean like me too, right? What if you got none of the other?
Okay. Everybody, thank you. Thank you for all the advice. Throughout the show, feel free to put any uncle advice for me in the chat. I will make sure
to go through them. Go the F to sleep. is that a book? He says real book. Oh, dude, Robert from LA. Thank you for the suggestion.
I thought it was a book made of chloroform.
you hold it. It's a pillow. Barry, you're going to say Pele Titanic.
Oh my God. Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
So everybody. Shout out. We're here at OS NYC. Shout out to OS always welcoming us here on Mondays for Prem Show on YouTube here 1 p.m. Eastern time. But OS NYC, the premier gaming space in New York City. If you want to just hang out, have some drinks, play some PS5, play some PlayStation VR, whatever you want to do, it's out here.
They got the Oculus stuff. They've got regular video games. They got the whole thing.
Okay, regular video games.
You know what I'm talking about?
Alexis, that's how you know he's a pro in this space, okay?
Uh-huh. They got Call of FIFA. You guys got to check that out, bro.
Yeah, well, how do you feel that FIFA's and EA are breaking up?
It's about time.
You think so?
Yeah, dude. You know what would have been dope? If they would have just signed with UEFA, that would have drove FIFA. FIFA would have been like, there's a World Cup every year.
I'd imagine that UEFA would side with FIFA, right?
Nah, so FIFA's mad at UEFA because they make so much money, yo. UEFA is like the world powerhouse.
Yeah, but no, but you know, UEFA is like the biggest earner. You gotta keep them close.
So they call the shots. UEFA.
I don't know. I mean, they don't, right?
I'm telling you they do.
I mean, they have a lot of...
Who do they answer to?
They have a lot of sway. They answer to FIFA.
Big bank take little bank. That's what I would say. That's how I'd pick up the phone if I was the head of UEFA and Gianni Infantino called. I'd be like, what up, little bank? Big bank right here, fam.
That mic is peaking when you keep saying big bank.
Is it?
Yeah, because you're...
Big bank. No, I'm goody.
You're screaming.
Nah, but I lowered the volume so that I'm never screaming. They're both making their separate games.
Yeah, that's right. FIFA and EA are going to be making separate games. So
wait, FIFA is going to come out with their own video game?
Yeah, this is
and that shit going to be trash, yo. It's going to be. It might be 8-bit, bro.
Damn, bro, this game look like Dig Dug. What's all this about?
Bloop, bloop, bloop. How you going to play 2D soccer, bro? This is crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because I actually spoke to someone from EA.
Did you do it in like Morse code or something? Some real IT shit.
Yes.
The latest. This is a quote from the conversation.
Just the latest in technology, Morse code. You know how it is. Y'all ain't up on that
y'all
yet.
Ain't
so.
Up. Yo, why TikTok gonna be up on that?
Okay. But yes, I did speak to someone from EA, and they were basically saying like everybody, there's nothing to worry about. The game's gonna be fine.
There's nothing to worry about. Is the time you begin to worry?
No, but because really, it's not that the game itself will be the same. Plus, they'll have all the clubs, or I would say the majority of the clubs.
FIFA is everything.
Well, no. Well, FIFA is everything, but then EA has to get individual licenses with each, with the Players Association.
They already have that, though.
Yeah, they already have that. And then with the individual clubs. But that you saw the other day.
Wait, FIFA is making it through EA? EA is making FIFA?
Right now, that's how it is. But the new game.
No. I'm talking in the future. In the new future, FIFA game.
FIFA will not use EA to make their game. So we'll see.
Remember when they were like, we're going to come up with our own goal line technology? And everyone's like, all right, FIFA. What do you got? MIT techs in there? No. All right. If that exists, let's use what we have.
Right. Jamal just said, nah, we still calling it FIFA 23. That's right. It's going to be difficult.
Yo, you know what? Jamal's going to hate this, but they should have just went all in. You know, FIFA is made by EA Canada.
Right.
You know what they call the sport in Canada?
What do they call it?
They call it soccer. They should have just called it EA Soccer 23.
Right. Well, they're going with EAFC. That's going to be the new name.
That's a terrible name. AFC. EF.
Yep, that's what it's going for.
Also, it's not a club, so you can't call it FC. What's the FC stand for? Football Challenge?
Football Challenge.
Football Competition?
Funkle.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to go on this cruise, is my first reaction to that.
And Ice Cobra said FIFA's game will be like Pro Evolution Soccer.
Which, you know, that was the joint back in the day, way back in the day.
It was.
PES was the shit. Because it's more arcade-ish.
No.
Back in the day, it was arcade-ish. It was like a little, the players were a little bit, it was less realistic.
I would say FIFA was more arcade-ish than it was Winning 11 before that. And then Pro Evolution Soccer, that it was like had the most realistic physics, but the graphics were trash. That was the main issue.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking about. What's the year of FIFA where they had the four shadows because of the lights?
Oh.
It was like 98?
No, it wasn't that long ago. It was probably like
No.
That
might have been the first one. No, you're right.
Well,
that was
2000. 2,
that was like 2004, 2006.
Yeah, yeah. It was like 2004, maybe some of that.
That's when FIFA, in my mind, started to make the turn. Which I don't know how I know any of this. I was born in 2003.
Okay.
The EA MILF League featuring jizz on the cover. Area Guna. It's so early where he is. It's so early in Los Angeles.
You can only play it on Pornhub.com.
Damn, bro. You need to download a VPN just to buy this game, bro.
Hello, everybody. We're excited to be here. We never introduce ourselves at a reasonable time, but my name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerrero. Jamal said Pez is so washed now. Messi looks like Ben Mee.
Who is that an insult to? I don't know. Ben Mee's all right.
I feel like so many people caught strays in that.
He looks pretty young.
Burnley caught a stray. Messi caught a stray. EA, Pro Evolution, Konami. That's who makes it. Konami caught a stray. I wonder if you could do the up, up, down, down on Pez. Remember the Konami code?
Yeah, I do. That was from Contra. That's where but Contra was the one. I mean, that's what started it.
Unlimited
all.
Lives, bro.
Yeah, dude.
I don't even know what kind of gun it was. You were throwing little boulders. Boop, bloop, bloop,
bloop, bloop. The spreader. That's bro, what it was called.
Oh, that's the one where it was three.
Yeah, dude.
Everybody got it. Everybody got it.
Okay, so.
Probably should be making those jokes.
We're excited to be here at OS. So obviously, this is the Prem Show. There's a lot to cover today because not only were there.
Your goal is to be the host of Good Morning America, is it not?
Sorry. Yeah, I have a skill. That's just, I don't know what.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We have a lot to cover today. One day I want you to be like, you know what? I'm sorry you joined us. All right. I'm not happy about it. You know, and I got nothing to cover.
There's people that come here for your goofball antics, and then there's people that come here for like, oh, okay, there's a healthy balance.
Thank you, he's there because he'll gear us back.
Okay, I know what my strengths are.
Bay Area Guna said Pez never had the licenses. What was it? North London FC was Arsenal.
Yeah, they had some.
They had some licenses.
Not all. They have not Juventus, all the clubs,
which is why FIFA doesn't have.
Yeah.
What is it? It's called Torino.
No. Piemont Calcio.
Yeah, that's right.
And then there's also Atalanta's not in the game as well. They're called Bergamo.
Bergamo.
Yeah, which is that's where
they should release kits with that shit on it.
Okay. So where to begin today? So as always, if there's anything you would like us to discuss, please put it in the chat because we'll probably not get to everything. We might miss something, but there's a couple things to start
Brian
with.
The Brian Gumbel voice from Alexis, I have it in me. Hey, thank you so much for joining us. We have a lot to discuss today. Where should we begin? Put it in the chat. We will discuss it.
Brian Gumbel sounds nothing like that.
Isn't that Brian Gumbel?
No, Brian Gumbel has a calmer, warmer voice, more welcoming. He sounds like a warm a warm hug from your dad.
Is that the type of uncle you're gonna be?
Probably. Yeah. Boring.
Yeah, man. I'm not down with that. I like to shake shit up. I bought the kid a drum set.
I was like, he bought drugs?
Yeah, I bought a drug set. All right, we got one of each, kid. Pick your boys.
Hey, watch Breaking Bad. It's a documentary.
By the way, if anyone asks, you got this from your dad.
You're not a cop, right? You know?
He is.
So,
you wearing a wire kid?
let's start with FA Cup. The game overall was probably a little bit dull. It was kind of a pitcher's duel, 0-0. Then went to penalties. And obviously Liverpool win in penalties.
I think my biggest complaint about finals is they always sort of like everyone's kind of a little scared. You know what I mean? Everyone plays a little shook.
Okay. Yeah. It's not two legs. There's no way to, you know, you got to get it right the first time.
Right. Exactly. You kind of sit back. You don't really attack too hard. You know, you're like, whatever, let's get it in the penalties and then anything can happen, which I think is the wrong way to go about it, personally.
I don't think that's necessarily how they played, but...
No, but they play so defensively that it's essentially what happens. Not most finals, obviously. People score in finals, but look, it just feels so tentative. You know, a lot of jabs, not a lot of hooks.
Okay.
You know?
The one thing that was interesting that I noticed after the game, a lot of people were talking about this. And people in England, maybe, that are in the chat, let us know what the dialogue is like for you guys, because for us, obviously Christian Pulisic plays for Chelsea. He started this game. He got subbed off in extra time, but I thought he had a pretty good game. He had probably two really good chances, and probably two or three other, you know, he had a good game,
right.
But there was an interesting thing. I can't find the original tweet, but there was somebody that was doing player ratings for this game. And Mason Mount missed the penalty, got stopped, right?
The reason they lost is because of Mason Mount.
But when you look at the ratings, Mason Mount got a higher rating in this game than Christian Pulisic.
Of course.
Mason Mount got a 7 and Pulisic got a 6. And Pulisic, I thought he had a great game.
Why would we expect anyone in England to respect an American player?
But there seems to be a... You already knocked down two, three points.
Do you think there's a bias? You think there's a bias against an American king?
Mm.
Huh?
Is that...
Captain
those
America?
Two words don't really... I mean, Trump wanted to be
America
that.
America had a king. There's a statue to him in England.
What are you talking about? Washington?
King George?
You mean, okay, yeah. We sorted that out.
Yeah, no, we got rid of him. We said, why don't you go ahead, you can hold that office. We're going to get our blickies. We'll be right back.
Eagle Eye Football said, Pulisic can't finish his dinner. He
keep that energy with Mason Mount, my G.
He said he has very poor end product. I don't know. Well, you saw him score in the Premier League just the other day.
He scores in buckets. He might be one of them. What is he, the second or third highest scorer on the team?
He has 6 goals this season. Is he the most lethal finisher in the world? He's not a number 9. That's not what's expected of him. But he also doesn't play every game. I think that's a harsh criticism for Christian Pulisic.
He's the 5th highest scorer on the team with 6 goals, tied for 4th with Jorginho. Y'all ain't saying that about Jorginho. Y'all ain't having this energy with Kai Havertz, who only got 7 goals.
Yeah. Look, Chelsea, they don't play with a... A defined striker who you know is going to get 20 goals a season. They brought in a guy to do that, and he has not done that.
Right.
Romelu Lukaku. So Michael Raymond says, "See, yeah, Pulisic won Champions League for Chelsea. Yeah, I can't argue there. Yeah, as far as maybe he doesn't score a lot of goals, but he has scored some important goals for Chelsea in his time.
He needs to get out of there. First game in, he scores a hat trick. Y'all still don't love him. Whatever.
So it seems the bias is clearly there. But I thought this is the interesting thing.
He has two goals less than Romelu Lukaku.
Right.
Bruh.
The interesting thing was in Premier League. I think that there's more. I think they've scored more in other competitions or whatever. Lukaku has scored.
Yeah,
more.
I'm talking Premier League. Also, he barely started and he's coming off the bench and he's still got six goals for you.
Yeah. So
what more you want? Also, he would have had another assist if Marcus Alonso knew what to do with a beautiful pass.
Eagle Eye Football said it. Six goals from 50 clear-cut opportunities. Just saying, you know what? At the very least, he's getting those opportunities. He's putting himself in a position to get in those opportunities.
Yo, people ain't saying this about everyone else on the squad. He ain't the only one missing chances.
I'm saying,
bro.
You know, we don't want to come on here and be like pro America this and pro America that, because the tone of the show completely changes. But this is what you do to us.
Don't make us change this background over Fox News. Don't make us do it, dude.
Okay.
Pulisic might watch it.
Okay. We were going to put an American flag waving. Oh, an eagle on it.
An eagle, dude.
Okay. I wish I had. Just imagine if this noise was
okay. What noise does an eagle make? Do we know?
I think it's that. Jamal said, if Lukaku is the benchmark, then Pulisic is finished. I am sorry.
Bro.
Well, apology accepted.
21 matches played, fam.
Yeah.
Only 12 starts, 6 goals.
Chelsea, they said this on the broadcast. I think they've lost their last 6 or something like that, like finals at Wembley. So
oh yeah, no, they can't.
They just can't. It's just
someone called them. What is the term? Freedom intensifies. That's a nice gold room. We got wild freedom up in here. There's a term for like what do they call themselves? Like the People's Club or something? The Pride of London.
Oh, that's what Chelsea,
that's what
calls,
Chelsea
themselves?
Calls themselves.
Okay.
Which is very, very, Dallas Cowboy-ish.
Oh, sure. America's team.
They came up with that nickname themselves. They
of
were
course.
Like, I'm America's comedian. And people were like, what?
Hey, yo, that's my...
Printed on shirts.
Yo, my pronouns are America's comedian, so you need to be calling me that from going forward.
Oh, you he him? Cool. I am the greatest. So feel free to just use that at your leisure.
Okay, and if you don't call me that, you will be canceled.
100%. You respect. I don't know how pronouns work, my G, but the greatest is what I want.
Okay, so
called.
Jamal said 3 finals, and then and then clarifies that Mason Mount has lost his last 6 finals at Wembley. Okay, so the man has some terrible luck in that building. You know, obviously Chelsea do have some. They won a Champions League.
Petition
so.
To play it elsewhere. That's what I'd say. If you're Mason Mount, buddy, why don't you ask permission to play it anywhere else, huh?
I want to talk about this because of the penalties, and I saw this tweet. Taylor Twellman had retweeted it and talking about penalties and the psychological game that happens before the penalties are even taken. Mm-hmm. So let's take a look at this real quick. This is from who tweeted this? A football psychology researcher. I will butcher the name. Jer Jorde. I'm gonna assume
already
this.
Trust what he's gonna say.
Okay.
But when your whole name is just one sound in different variations.
So, but this is what he said, and there's a thread here. So, the first tweet says, at around 60 seconds after the final whistle, Klopp already has made his selection and approaches each penalty taker to tell/ask him what shot to take. He does this one-on-one and often cement his ask with a trademark hug. We're talking about, you know, what type of uncle I'm going to be. So, this
is going to be you? You'd be like, hey, man, do you want Coke or Pepsi? Coke.
Boom. And then just like warm emotional music plays.
He's hugged me 38 times. Can we get out of this Burger King?
So it's kind of interesting because the theory that he's pretty much putting forward.
Yeah, all you talked about is the hug so far. What is the point of all this?
So the point of it is that Klopp gets his players psychologically prepared better than Tuchel did in that in the penalties.
By virtue of a hug or by virtue of individual?
By just virtue of just comparison. So at the next one, at one, so basically at 90 seconds, Klopp is done with his rounds. The team is gathered in a huddle and he gives a short but passionate speech at 1 minute 45 seconds. He finishes and the team breaks up the huddle. At 1:50.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Just real quick. A huddle? On the pitch?
it's penalties, but you know, I mean, wow. we gotta call it out when we see it.
Wow. No one tell Jesse Marsh.
So at 1 minute and 50 seconds, Tuchel is still revising his notes and eventually making his way into the huddle. So you see, if you see this image, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see Tuchel looks a little bit more like, okay, everybody, this, you know.
You think we can do this, dude? Oh my God.
The anxiety is clearly there. He's like, he's kind of rushing.
He's more of what the stereotype of a German would be, right? Like over-engineering it, like overthinking it.
Yeah, yeah.
Overdoing it.
It seems like Klopp is a little bit more like
cool,
Phil Jackson, more zen. Yeah.
He pops in the huddle and goes, crazy, right?
Can you believe all this?
Yeah. Honestly, just look around. See how far you've come. It's crazy. You don't be wild? What if we just walked off the pitch right now?
You know, just to mix it up a little bit.
They couldn't even take the penalty. Wouldn't that be crazy? Shit would be crazy. Anyway, what you want to do? Dude, you should head the ball, dude. No one's ever done it before, dude.
Are you allowed to head a penalty? I wonder. Just why not?
Ronaldinho, remember he did that thing where like
you
rolled it in?
Yeah, why? Just, all right. Put someone in the chat. You know more than we do. Let us know.
the one Dylan put, Uncle Klopp, please hug me.
So, and then he brought up this other example of Gareth Southgate. At the Euros,
right.
He kind of did the same thing that Tuchel did, and it basically what he's saying is that it puts the players in a stressed emotional state,
right.
That and they're worried that they're gonna fail, and essentially this is why Liverpool won the penalty shootout. So look, go follow this guy.
I'm trying to catch this mosquito.
G-E-I-R.
It's on your lap.
It's okay. I mean, it's part of the show now.
G-E-I-R.
J-O-R-D-E-T.
Yeah, follow Jorge.
Jorge, I'm going to assume. But I think a fascinating theory into that. Klopp has a more, you know, more of a gentle parenting approach. And he's suggesting that leads to better results.
He has more of like a charter school principal.
Right.
Which is, hey, man, everything's going to be okay. And then Tuchel has my mom's energy, which is, we already messed up being in this position.
This is your fault.
This got nothing to do with you, but you're going to catch strays all day.
Why don't you get up there on the penalty spot and see if you're going to disappoint me again?
Mount, don't even look at me, Mason Mount. I'll be like, where I believe in you, bro.
The one Dylan said, Uncle Klopp, please hug me. You read that?
Yeah.
I didn't mean, sorry.
To your face.
I didn't hear it. I was being too talented on camera. a nice go, Bruce said, Tuchel seems super high strung. I agree.
Tuchel is the glass half full or half empty.
Empty.
Which one's the bad one?
Yeah.
Empty. I didn't pay attention.
Alexis is drunk. All right. He had a little big glass.
Oh, you're apparently not allowed to get an Irish coffee this big. Says who? I brought my own Bushmills. Thank you very much.
Jamal says, if he thinks that's why Liverpool won, then unicorns are real. What the hell?
If you're going to analyze just the penalties, that's the right way of analyzing it, is how were those players prepared for it, you know?
Right, right. And that's a huge part of penalties, right? I mean, right. We know
announcer even said that Mason Mount, like the last five penalties he took was to the right of the keeper. The keeper jumped to his left and saved it, which is huge. I mean, that's someone who was prepared. So it's not like Klopp is just like, guys, you know how we're going to win? Vibes, dude. You know, like they are prepared, but he's doing it in a different way. He's doing it in a slightly more arm around the player way.
Right.
Versus Tuchel is like, okay, I mean, I want to give this job to you.
So, I thought it was a fascinating take in what otherwise was a pretty boring game. I thought it was not super entertaining.
It was entertaining in the sense that it looked like anything could happen. But then when you look back for 90 minutes, nothing happened.
Yeah, yeah, it was a lot on the line, clearly. But, yeah. You know, this is, what was it, the Carabao Cup final also 0-0,
right.
I think, and also went to penalties. And, hey, oh, whatever. I mean, it'd be nice. A couple goals would be nice. That's all I'm saying. All right.
So now the discussion has become one. I have two questions for you. One, does the FA Cup matter more now? Didn't it seem like it was much bigger than like last year's trophy?
I don't know. I mean, I think in context, especially for Liverpool, they're going for the quadruple. I think because of that, it means probably more to them. But we are, I mean, look at any clip of like Ian Wright talking about the FA Cup.
Different era, though.
I mean, it's just like, yeah, the dudes are going to cry, like,
yeah,
talking about the first time I got to play, you know, in the FA Cup. So clearly it was meaningful to a lot of people.
It used to be huge,
point.
But I would say, like, in the last, like, 5 years, it seems like it's meant less and less every year.
I mean, look, to me, caring about the FA Cup is like me asking the English to care about the U.S. Open Cup. Like, it's significant, and it's a big trophy, and I know the history of it to some degree.
But also,
but
we're
fans
of teams that play
right. But I'm not emotionally tied to it unless, like, you know, Everton got pretty far.
Yeah, someone called it the Queen's Cup. I'm like, you think that's going to move the needle for me, an American? You think I care?
I play for the Corona Queen's Cup, bro.
Yeah, let's go, bro.
Jamal said,
I'm sorry, the only queen I care about is RuPaul's Drag Race, my friend.
We've got to call it Paul's Drag Race.
Drew Paul, which I got a feeling is not the way you say it. My head was like, not the way. It's still huge, Jamal said. It's always mattered. I get that it's always mattered, but it seems like over the last 5 years, and I talked about this with Flex a little bit, it seems like the importance of where you rate the FA Cup as a title for a club, unless it's a club that didn't have a chance to win anything else, which seemingly has gone away. It seems like whoever wins the FA Cup also was in the running for maybe Champions League or the domestic title. It seems like that importance has dropped a little bit. Like, you're not as, like, it seemed like back in the day, if you won the FA Cup, it was like, whoa, you won the FA Cup.
Okay, well, I mean, look, the English here in the chat are disagreeing with you.
I'm glad to see.
You know, we don't know what the on the ground in England, what people are talking about when it comes to the FA Cup. But this is, as Americans, that is our connection to it. It is the way the tournament is televised to us and broadcast to us and sort of sold to us. They don't really convey its importance and in kind of the emotional connection to it. Right now,
the title seems to have affected that, the way they celebrated the title.
Okay.
But I feel like you'd celebrate any title that way, right?
Well, the way I see it is like England, you know, to my knowledge, clearly the most popular sport is football. So they don't have a
really... You're really spitting hot takes here, dude.
No, but it's like, that's the most popular sport, and right, they don't really have other sports that really compare to its popularity. But we have...
Maybe cricket, right? Like cricket, but
really.
That's like the posh.
I mean, and it's a large gap between...
Huge.
Yeah. But we have, not only do we have soccer and football, whatever, but we have NBA,
NFL.
We have NFL, we have other sports that those trophies and those tournaments, the playoffs, have a level of meaning, you know, a significant level of meaning. But it's really just, it's football, and then obviously whatever, if rugby or cricket is the next thing, it's very distant. So to the comparison is kind of like, well, you have the Premier League, then you have FA Cup, then League Cup, you know what I mean? So these are sort of the other sports, for the lack of a better term.
What's his name? Hasenhüttl. I never know how to pronounce his name. The Southampton, manager said he thinks that the domestic title is harder to win than Champions League. He said the domestic title means you have to be the best out of 38 matches in a tough league versus Champions League, which is, he thinks, easier to win, which is, to me, insane.
I love it. Everybody who's English. Jamal just said FA Cup is the biggest cup competition in football, bar UCL. Sam Asfahani, who is in the room with us, says, how do I unsubscribe?
Ladies and gentlemen, the owner of the space we're in.
So this might be our last time we film here. Nick Red said, don't forget darts. Obviously, huge.
Yo, they pack out rooms for darts, bro.
It's wild.
Y'all got nothing on TV, fam.
All right. Maybe
darts is hidden.
Maybe Mason Mount could succeed at Wembley if they're doing the dart competition.
Bro, he'd be walking out of there with a dart sticking out of the side of his head. Be like, how did you do that, dude?
Congrats, obviously, to Liverpool, even though I really did not want to see them win more trophies. It gets much.
Bro,
more.
Why you care about them? You just need to stay up.
I'm just I got. We got our own problems.
So here's the other question. I got trashed a little bit on the Complex show because I said, out of everyone, if you're setting up an attack plan to go up against Liverpool, the one weakness they have is Trent Alexander-Arnold defending. And everyone's like, that's lazy, that's this. And I'm like, no. Look at the rest of their back line. If they're healthy, Trent Alexander-Arnold, when he's defending, is the weakest, not a weak point, the weakest point out of all those, right? You ain't going to go against Virgil van Dijk, you know what I mean? Right? So that's your weakest point. We would all agree he's not the best defender in the league. He's a very good defender, but I wouldn't sit here and say Trent Alexander-Arnold's the best defender, but is he the best attacking defender in the league? Quite possibly, yes. Is he the best attacking defender of all time?
I wouldn't say attacking. I would say best passing.
Cross is a fire. I mean,
his crosses. I mean, attacking. Yes. I think of somebody going after the goal, going towards the goal.
You've managed to confuse me.
I'm just saying, when an attacker, I wouldn't call a midfielder who scores a bunch of goals if you're an attacking.
The hell are you talking about?
I'm just saying, like he is a. Almost like he's a midfielder that is a defender, and can he attack? He puts players in other positions. I mean, it's really just semantics, but you would not consider
Trent Alexander-Arnold.
I don't think he's a bad
attacking.
I'll
defender.
Say this. I don't. Yes, he is clearly an attacking defender, but I'm just saying.
So then, what the hell are we talking about?
You're saying the best attacking defender.
Yeah.
No. I do not think so.
Who is?
I would say João Cancelo is probably a better attacking defender, and he's a better defender.
He is. I would say he's a better defender,
but he's not a better passer than Trent Alexander-Arnold.
I would, because of his crosses. I don't consider crosses passes. I consider crosses. That to me is part of the attack.
Look, Chanchada United agrees with me. João might want a word.
Christian is saying, you hear attacking as a defender. I picture Marcelo at Real Madrid. Which is exactly what I'm saying Trent Alexander-Arnold is, almost exactly like a Marcelo. When you see Marcelo, I think Marcelo's ability to track back is unrivaled. I think it's incredible. But when I look at Marcelo, I think the most dangerous he is when he has the ball at his feet.
Okay.
And that's him attacking.
Okay.
We agree but disagree somehow?
No, I'm not really talking about the fact that, of course, Trent Alexander-Arnold moves the ball forward.
To me, that is attacking.
Fine. But I'm saying the best. We're talking about the best. There's better attackers that are also defenders than Trent Alexander-Arnold. That's all I'm saying.
Here's the thing about João Cancelo. I think he really only is that great in the City system.
Okay. Well, that's a fair opinion, I guess.
Great talk. hey, editor, if you cut this into a clip, good luck ending it.
But I don't know what point you want to make. You just want to see.
I'm asking, do you think Trent Alexander-Arnold?
I said no.
You think João is better?
I think, yes. If I had to pick between the two, I'll pick João Cancelo. That's all. I think it's fairly close, but you're asking. I don't think Trent Alexander-Arnold is as bad a defender as you are saying.
Okay, out of their back line, right. Who's worse? Just strictly defending.
He is the worst. But
he is the weakest link. That's the point I'm trying to make. I don't think he is a weak link. This is every Liverpool fan comes from my neck when I say this. I'm sorry, fam. He's the weakest link. Look, Christian and I are on a back line. I don't think I'm a bad defender. I guarantee you I'm worse than him. You should be attacking me. And that's the point I'm trying to make. Alexis doesn't make points. He makes facts. Thank you, Michael Raymond. You know what?
Somehow,
that's how you end the clip.
Somehow that makes sense, I guess. Davies, Alfonso Davies is a good shout, too.
A nice cold brew at Christian practicing is a difficult uncle at Thanksgiving.
I got to stop hanging out with Alexis.
Bro, I'm telling you, I'm going to make it fun. Niece is going to be like, yo, he's crazy.
Paulo Nelson said, I thought Cancelo was just Marcelo being canceled.
Hey.
Well done, sir.
Hey. For me, offensively, Trent Alexander-Arnold is kind of like Beckham. Filthy delivery, but no Marcelo, Dani Alves-like combination. combination play. And Trent Alexander-Arnold is a net negative defender.
Right.
Which is probably the most concise way to put it.
Yes.
Shouts to Chanchala Millonaria.
Who is making points and facts. So. Damn.
So. Also, exactly what I said. So count it as an Alexis fact.
Bro. Okay. So
you just got fact.
I want to move on to the Everton match against Brentford.
Of course you do.
Because
why do you even want to talk about this, bro?
Because there was a lot of controversy. Clearly, if you saw this game, Everton lost 3-2. This was Everton's opportunity to guarantee safety in the Premier League.
Tim, the one Dylan put, which member of the Liverpool backline gives the best hugs? That's important. I bet you it's Virgil van Dijk. Just get lost in those muscles, man.
Okay, Alexis again, writing a romantic novel.
Nuzzle into that gap between his chest and his arm. Hell yeah, dude.
Okay, man. Just imagining the dad he never had and all the
more like the daddy. I never had
Okay, so there was a red card in the 19th.
Yeah, dude, your player's shirt got pulled, and you want to use this platform to complain about it for the next 10 minutes. Go for it. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, that's
pitch away.
It's kind of what we do here. I don't know.
I'm giving you full clearance to go for it.
But look,
this is my favorite team, and we're trying to stay up, and you can't pull our shirts,
bro. I hope Arsenal lose today so badly. Okay, enjoy Europa Conference League.
Yeah, we're gonna be in Europa if we lose. We're not Conference League. Thank you very much.
Okay,
Virgil van Daddy set a nice goal, bro.
Okay, Everton, they lose the game 3-2. Brentford gets two goals in the second half. They were up 2-1, right? But this is the red card in the 19th minute.
How many red cards has Everton gotten in the last few weeks?
Quite a bit. So I mean, this season it's Jared Branthwaite,
he's out
substitute
for the season now, right? Because that was straight
out for the season. Not that we didn't really need him, and I guess he knew that.
He was like, all right, then peace.
But he
pulled the Ten Hag. You heard Ten Hag left his contract 6 days early.
No, I did not hear that.
He was like, peace.
Okay. Did you see the photo of him with all the trophies?
No.
He took a very strange pose in a weird, like, just one of these.
Hit him with a nude joint. we're going to pull that up in a second, but go ahead.
Okay.
So Braithwaite was like...
Braithwaite.
Was like, I don't need to be here. You don't want me here.
Gets sent off. Obviously, Ivan Toney, gets a run on him and trips him up. It's a red card. It's obvious. But before that, we're looking at the photo right now.
That part should have never happened because just before that, in the box... Richarlison gets his shirt stretched to the max.
Bro.
He turned one of your shirts into fitting on me. That's how much this shit got stretched.
He's like, right. He's like, I want to trade shirts, but I'm going to need an XL. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. So you're going to have to fix this. But no, as you can clearly see in the image, Richarlison is getting his shirt pulled. This is inside the box. He's trying to, the ball is coming to him. He's trying to control the ball. And this is what is happening. So he obviously miscontrols it because the defender is... holding on to all the, what is it, cotton, polyester, whatever. He got a fistful of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also, do you think this happens to him because he kind of, every time he gets touched, he hits the ground and tries to get a penalty? Do you think it's a little bit of that boy that cries wolf kind of a situation?
I don't think so. So this is my interpretation of it is, because VAR looked at the red card and VAR looked at this play and
VAR looked at this?
VAR looked at this and VAR, my man VAR, yeah. said that if it was... That there wasn't enough evidence to call it a clear and obvious error, but if Michael Oliver, the center referee, called the penalty,
there wasn't enough to overturn it.
So, basically saying it's kind of a penalty. I would have, Roy saying if he called it, I would have been like, you're right, it's a penalty.
That's kind of like saying if the person who invented the hamburger had called it a sandwich, we couldn't argue it's not. But because you called it a burger, we will never call it a sandwich.
Right. Right.
It's the exact same thing.
It's the exact same thing.
I'm trying to explain this to the folks who may not immediately understand what Christian is talking about by using regular words. So I bring in a food discussion.
But this is pretty...
See, Jamal said, yeah, Richarlison is a diver. You have to admit that, right? He's a little bit of a shithouser.
He does, but he does get fouled quite a bit. But he is. That. Yeah, yeah, he
little
is.
A little bit of a shithouser.
I'm not
right?
gonna look. I'm not gonna lie. Look, okay. We're trying to stay up, bro. Right.
No, first of all, do you think Richarlison? He's like, hey, Papa, I see you.
I fun out there, okay? But yes, that,
get
that,
out there and trip around a little bit.
That might be the case, but it doesn't. You know, this is.
Do you think that works against him though in these situations?
Yeah, of course. I would say that about any player that is so known for diving. Anthony Gordon dealing with the same exact thing. He's like deliberately been. He's doing Liverpudlian diving. You know, at least Richarlison's doing Brazilian diving. There's a little bit more.
Yeah, a little bit more hips to it.
He's doing.
There's a je ne sais cachaça to it.
There is a. He's a thespian with
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
He has a little bit more training.
Versus Gordon, who's like picking up someone's hand, slapping himself in the face with it.
Why are you
him? Yeah. Stop hitting me, dude. He's like, I'm the official. Can you stop this?
So look, is it egregious? I don't think so, but I can, you know, you're not a fan of the team, I could understand the complaint. And Ice Cobra said Richarlison Def practices some dark arts, but this is a it's gotten to the point, and you've heard me hear this this Premier League season. Mm-hmm. I've never been like they're out for us. They're coming. They're out for the toffees. The Premier League doesn't want us to succeed. They want us to go down or whatever.
You're there now.
but it's just the
I can feel your tone online.
It's compiling.
You're like, this is ridiculous.
It's compiling the Manchester City handball, the Rodri handball that wasn't called.
I agree with you because this has happened to Arsenal too. I think we're both, for the purpose of commercial, I don't know why. There's something going on, whether it's the reffing in the Premier League is that, the officiating is that bad.
Yeah.
Or because how VAR was supposed to solve these issues,
dude. All they want to do is look at centimeters of a damn offside line.
They should have just called it the offside system, not VAR, because the video assistant referee, y'all ain't doing none of those things.
Because this is so a lot of Everton fans have been complaining about this, specifically about they're calling this gray area where how could the VAR say, like, if he would have called the penalty, I would have agreed.
That's what you're here for. That's give the judges like, hey man, I don't know, dude.
So for the VAR to say that it wasn't a clear enough of an error to tell the referee that maybe he should look at this, but also think that if he called the penalty, he would have agreed with it, is that's the super super frustrating part. Almost like why couldn't the VAR had some courage and just be like, yo, at least look at it. Just say, like, I think this might have been a clear and obvious error, especially given that it led to a red card.
It all seems like political spin, you know? Like, oh, well, if you would have called it the other way, I wouldn't have been able to overturn it. That's like not saying
no. Yeah, like
no, you know,
not
what I mean?
Taking accountability.
Yeah. Oh, that, yeah. That's what I was thinking. Big words. Nice Cole Bruce said, LMAO, Christian is fed up. He is done. You are done with the officiating.
The red card to Alan on St. Maximum, which was like, yeah, it was a bad foul, but it wasn't like... it wasn't wild. Like,
no, you've received some wild red cards in this run.
And then Solomon Rondon getting that red, like, 100% deserved. That was just a ridiculous.
What a dumb.
And this is a guy that we, like, need. Not only do we not have enough players because of injury, we don't even have, like, enough decent players that can just simply control the ball and just keep us in the Premier League.
I want to remind everyone, they've spent $500 million
Dude,
in 5 years.
It is on
Solomon Rondon, two-footed, a player that was heading out of bounds. it was 4 minutes in.
Yeah.
4 minutes into his sub.
Didn't even need to. I had no, yeah, obviously it wasn't necessary.
He just got in. He was
frustrating.
Like, I ain't feeling it. I'm out.
So frustrating because Everton wins that game if they have 11 players. And then Christian Eriksen,
though.
He must have heard our podcast before because that
he's
dude.
Like, zombie? I'm going to show y'all.
Dude went off, man.
He was walking dead. He was walking dead ass.
he had a great game, and just super, super frustrating. Everton now has another opportunity on Thursday against Crystal Palace. Eagle Eye Football is here. I'm gonna be doing Eagle Eye Football show.
I can't wait.
On Wednesday.
I can't wait to watch it. Shouts to Eagle Eye Football.
So go check that out.
Here's a question. So another league, I believe, I can't remember if it's Ligue 1 or Serie A. Someone has suggested that they're going to ask for managers, challenges, similar to the NFL.
Throw a flag.
But it's to have VAR check a play that the ref hadn't called.
Okay. I don't.
What are your first thoughts?
Nah, I just don't need it.
You literally could have used it this weekend.
I mean,
what are you talking about?
No, I think the people that should have influence on the actual match, I'm fine with the parties involved right now, which are the players and the referees. And anybody else?
So you don't want the challenge, you just want no VAR.
No. I think VAR should do their job, right?
That's what the challenge would provide. If you had one challenge per match, I think it should be two, by the way. But if you had one challenge per match,
I mean, look, I can't imagine the English in this chat are probably losing their mind at this idea.
First of all, you guys hate change so much.
Yeah, they throw coins.
Yeah, you're gonna have five subs, so get with it. Five subs and a challenge.
I'm not a fan of it.
This World Cup is gonna have water breaks. Robert, you guys are gonna have to hydration breaks.
Robert from LA said the English will throw a teacup.
that's their challenge. Oi, we have what is I forgot. Get the name of their damn it, man. I have the name of their tea that they all drink.
English breakfast?
No, it's like the brand. What's the brand of tea that everyone drinks?
PG Tips.
There's a bag of PG Tips on the ground. that means we need to go check. That shit heavy, bro. PG Tips is heavy as tea, bro. The shit we drink out here is not PG Tips. PG Tips is like octane compared to the stuff we drinking out here.
Jamal said, LOL, are you asking for a world war? Coaches would literally fight on the touchline.
Bro, I'm down for that.
Just have a nice UFC octagon.
Bing, bing, bing. All of a sudden, Conte's wearing boxing gloves.
And Ice Cobra said, no challenges, just fix VAR. Have to trust the refs to ref. And Nick Red said, if you could have managers' challenges, you'd end up with 10 minutes of extra time every match, which is what Gianni Infantino wants.
Which I'm fine with. Commercial break? Welcome, football. Welcome to America. You're starting to make money now.
Okay, you better watch this ad for Totino's Pizza Rolls.
Don't you need to know about the President's Day sales, whatever, Prime Minister's Day sales at your local Toyota dealership?
That's a good question. Do you have Prime Minister's Day sales in England? Let us know.
Is it Queen's Day sales?
Come on.
Monarchy Day sales? Look,
this country, we monetize all our holidays.
If you think for one second President's Day is to honor presidents, it is not. It is to get a discount on a RAV. Four, my G. It's those inflatable doll things.
Any opportunity, okay?
Bruh, are you kidding me?
So,
Memorial Day. People died so we could have freedom, and you have the freedom to get 20% off any mattress you want.
So, look, this result just so crazy. I mean, it's just so, so frustrating. I mean, it's to the point where it's not even about getting upset because it's just Everton fans are so used to it. They're just so used to these decisions
There's
going
no
against
point
them.
Getting upset.
It's just like you just have to put it on the players to just make better decisions. But as soon as the reason Branthwaite was even in the game,
Jamal said, imagine Migos at the halftime show when Arsenal are getting pumped 4-0 at the Etihad, they get booed. This sounds like a party other than that scoreline.
That's it. Yeah, there's something.
I don't have a Super Bowl, and that's messed up.
Well, there's no time to, like, to decompress. Like, you can't, like, in the NFL, you have halftime, and it's like, okay, let's commercials, let's decompress from what we just saw, and then we'll continue afterwards. The Super Bowl, it's literally a show, that decompression, Beyonce comes out, and we're like, okay, cool, we'll feel good.
Dr. Dre's old ass comes out and dances a little bit, 50 Cent's upside down.
and then we go on with our lives, but the English would just, there's too much anger.
No.
There's no decompression.
One guy with the trumpet playing a sad. Everyone's like, yeah.
So the
English need to Americanize the sport a little bit more.
I saw that there was a proposal to make it 20 minutes and do a halftime show.
Well, did you hear that? Gianni Infantino wants the each half to be 60 minutes for this World Cup.
I did not hear that.
60 minutes.
I mean, obviously that's not going to happen, but...
Dude, I'm down for it.
But I know...
Let's kill these players.
For the Champions League final, Camila Cabello is performing.
Yes.
To open the... Yeah, yeah, obviously. It wouldn't be halftime.
Guana.
Guana, that's right. So a little Cuban representation in the Champions League. It's going to be nice.
Cuban-American, but like the cool kind, you know? Jorge Masvidal, get the mic out of his hand.
Jamal said, Beyonce at Burnley when Liverpool are thumping them 5-0 at halftime. The scenes, can you envision
Bro,
it?
Bro, let's go.
Just everyone in the audience like, who is this lady?
Boy, just a lot of that.
Okay, but we made the joke about Arsenal losing 4-0. Arsenal.
Jamal said, Gianni smoking weed, bro.
Arsenal did lose 3-0. Mm-hmm. North London derby. How you feeling, bro?
Okay, so I was confident going in, and we failed. So I'm not as confident going into this match today for everyone listening.
Who are you playing today?
Are you kidding me?
I don't remember.
This is huge.
Arsenal are playing who?
How do you not pay attention to this? You're about to play Crystal Palace. I know that.
Why am I? I don't. I'm sorry. I don't know who they're playing.
Okay, Jeez. We are going to St. James Park. We're playing Newcastle in their house. Okay. And guess what? They have nothing to play for. So I'm begging you, Newcastle, take it easy. Why don't you relax a little bit?
All right.
This is huge. This is important for me. I know all your stupid stuff.
To you, okay? This Arsenal.
I watch every Everton match, and I laugh, but I watch every Everton match.
I watched the Arsenal match, okay? I was texting you. I was like, bro, what's this? And then Rob Holding did what he did, and I'm like, oh, bro.
Speaking of, nice cold brew said Rob Holding was a little too gully.
Speaking of that, because he went into this game being like, first day in prison, I got to make a name for myself.
Here's the thing. If you're going to get a red card, go hard.
Right.
You know what I mean? These soft-ass fouls, kick the dude in the back. You got to go in. You got to put your knee on that dude's neck. Get up using his face. You know what I mean? If you're going to do it right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Scuff him up a little bit.
Right. And it's also, this is the challenging thing, especially for neutrals, that people love Youngman Son.
I feel like he's losing that appeal a little bit.
I don't know.
The glisten has come off.
Bro, that dude
He learned some shit in the army.
He could start a K-pop group tomorrow.
I believe.
Be a superstar, bro. He is beloved.
Yeah, no, I get it, but by his people. But like I think everyone in the Premier League is starting to realize.
I disagree.
There's a little danger to this.
By
man.
Not his people. He is that charming a guy. I think he is universally.
He just
happens to play for Tottenham.
I think it's all an act.
If he didn't play for Tottenham,
everybody would love him.
Everybody would love him.
Yeah, but he's broken people's legs, and I'm crying. And his head, he's like, ha 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 ha. I'm crying because this is the way I get off.
Alexis knows.
Write the schedule on a Pagel. He'll pay attention, said John Coltrane. Wow, we're talking about him, Yiming Sun. And look who joins the chat. Catherine Tucker, everybody. Your favorite, my arch enemy, Tottenham fan galore.
She said
Rob Holding is my favorite Arsenal player.
Okay, and that's coming from a Tottenham fan, so that means a lot.
I would have dug Yiming Son's face into the grass. You know what I mean? I would have done something to make him remember. Yeah, I'm gonna get a red card, but you're gonna remember my name. You're gonna remember this fake hairline, says Rob Holding.
But now
we have no center backs for this game against Newcastle today.
Yeah, it's gonna be Ben White and who?
Ben White, who was injured. That's why they didn't bring him in. They were like, let's give him an extra few days. And Gabriel, who pulled a hammy towards the end of the match. He came up with the team. We haven't heard yet. I don't know if it's been official.
He's going to play.
He's there. He's in Newcastle. He traveled with the team, but they're going to do a late test on him to see if he's good to start.
Okay.
Which this is the way you want to go into the penultimate game of the season that you need to win in order to look. Look at the end of the day. Here's exactly what I think. The destiny is ours. We win two matches. We goody. If I'm Arteta, hey. Yo, Odegaard, you want Champions League football? Win two matches. Yo, Martinelli, you want Champions League football? Win two matches. Yo, Ramsdale, you want Champions League football? Win two matches. We don't need nobody to do nothing for us. We got to do it for ourselves. Win two matches and you goody. And now for those of you listening to this as a podcast, you either hype with me or you laughing at me, bro.
And that's part of the fun of the show sometimes. It's obviously a big game against Newcastle. Maybe
the plugs were too tight. You feel me?
What are the standings right now? Arsenal are how many points back?
They're in fifth place behind
2 points back behind.
Where are the points on this thing? I'm looking at the wrong thing. We have 66. Tottenham has 68.
Yeah, dude.
But at the end of the day, we're at 36 games played. They're at 37 games played. So we just need to keep pace. If we win both matches, there's nothing Tottenham could do.
Same, you know what? Same with Everton. If they win these two matches.
We stopped talking about Everton now because you didn't even realize we were playing Newcastle.
If Everton win these next two matches, they are in Champions League. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, everybody knows that about Everton. Okay. Team news is out. Jamal's going to the game. Jamal, bring us back 3 points, my G.
Okay.
Gabriel and Ben White are starting, so somehow my asshole got even tighter. It's, oh my God. If I farted right now, only dogs would hear it. That's how tight my butthole is right now.
Okay, well, best of luck.
Son is a super dirty player, says FC Neo Tokyo. Thank you very much.
Super dirty? He has a couple stains on his record. We know that.
He's dirty, bro.
But I still think a lot of people, like him as a player. Okay. Let's move on real quick. We got a couple other things we want to get to. Manchester City. Sergio Aguero. Has a statue outside of the Etihad.
Does he?
He does. Right?
I think we made this statue laugh when Real Madrid were at the MLS All-Star Game. Remember, we made Tony Cruz laugh.
Right. So Tony Cruz, if you can see the statue right there. It's a it pretty much Tony Cruz believes it is a statue of him.
It doesn't look like Sergio Aguero. What is happening to European statue makers? Remember back in the day, they were the best. Rome? Oh my God.
These statues. You really, but when you say back in the day, I'm thinking like, you know, 85? Biggie, Tupac. You know? KRS-One.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, go a little bit further back. The Roman Empire. Wow, bro.
But no, it's not. I don't think it's bad. I see Aguero there. This is a young Aguero. You know what I mean? It's not the girl we're seeing.
Oh, yeah, I remember that before all the plastic surgery that made him look like the man he is today.
It's just I just think that Tony Cruz and Sergio Aguero kind of look alike. If you squint a little bit.
Tony Cruz looks like he was made in a Rocky film to be an evil German.
Hey, Sergio Aguero. That's a little redundant, Alexa.
Sorry if I add an extra word there. I'm trying to get my word count up.
Writing an essay?
Sergio Aguero looks like an Argentinian man.
I don't know. I see it a little bit. But
why is his torso so big? Sergio Aguero is a short king. You know what I mean?
it was cool to see this. Obviously, it's the 10-year anniversary of that goal, and there was more. You would think they would be done with the controversy, but apparently Wayne Rooney had something
Wayne
to
Rooney
say
today. Which, by the way, before we stop talking about the statue, I want to say this just goes to show how great the Thierry Henry statue is outside of Emirates, because it looks exactly like Thierry Henry. I've never looked at the statue and go, is that Tony Cruz? Never once. What you recall? Also, what's with the weird texture of the statue? Why is it letting wind pass through it? I feel like there's mothballs are going to get stuck in there.
It's artsy. It's different, bro. It's a new era.
The English all of a sudden are into different. I don't know. I mentioned one halftime show and the place goes ballistic. What you recall it? Let's go. What did you just want to switch it to?
Wayne Rooney. Has thoughts about that that game-winning goal in 2011.
Which, there's so much happening in Wayne Rooney's life.
It's 2011,
right now.
2012.
His wife is a part of a very, very exciting trial.
Yeah,
he's like, I got an idea. I know how to deflect. I know how to deflect attention from this whole trial thing.
Mm-hmm.
He said he calls into question the title win by Aguero. The Aguero goal. Yeah. He questions the circumstances around that match.
Right, and you can see the tweet here. And
there's a thread.
Yeah, yeah. So Rooney thought he had won the title for Manchester United with his goal.
Yeah, you thought.
Securing 3 points away at Sunderland. We all saw it. We saw the broadcast where it shows both screens. And then it said, but Man City obviously bagged 2 goals in stoppage time to pip United. I don't even never heard that one.
What is it? To nick something is to steal.
Yeah, yeah.
To pip.
to Pip.
I don't know what that is. Pippi Longstocking.
To Pip United to the title right at the final moment. But this is the interesting. This is the controversial take right here.
This is the big one.
It says Rooney believes QPR gifted the ball straight back to City from the kickoff that followed the first of those goals, Edin Dzeko's equalizer. Remember, this was like it was already like 92nd, 93rd minute.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think they thought the whistle was about to blow. They thought they needed to draw the game so that they could get the point to stay in the Premier League.
Right.
It ended up working out, but they didn't know that as that was going
right.
on. So they were just like, let's just boot it. Whistle hopefully blows, and we keep it moving. We stay in the Premier League.
And the whistle was like, not yet.
Not yet. We got a couple.
I think there's a bit more excitement left. Here's the thing, though. They scored two goals in the first half. Right.
I just want to point this out.
How are you throwing the game by beating them? That's not how you throw a game.
The exact quote is QPR kick it straight back to them, and that's never been questioned. I find that strange. So this is, I mean, we're hitting QAnon levels of
this
conspiracy.
Is moon landing. By the way, Catherine Tucker put it was ... Sergio Aguero's account.
Classic.
Hilarious.
So pretty ridiculous.
Here's the thing, though. He also says, if you go down, he questions Jibril Cisse's celebrating after the game with City players.
Yeah.
He said, but yes, listen, it's a historic moment in the Premier League. So I'm sure that if you're not involved as a Manchester United player, that's probably one of the greatest moments in the league. So he's not saying something. He's dropping hints
mm-hmm.
and letting you decide.
Naming names.
He's like, I thought it was a little weird. Jibril Cisse was playing with the other players. But whatever. You know, you guys enjoy yourselves. I'll be out. Let me know if you need me for anything else. He just dropped a Molotov cocktail and ran off. Yeah. Do you think there's anything to this?
I don't, but I didn't think there was anything to it until I tried to be in Wayne Rooney's head right now, and I'm like, okay.
One of the most dangerous things you've ever done. Wasn't that being John Malkovich?
So, yes, QPR did kick the ball away right at the kickoff, and it did seem a little odd. They didn't even try to maintain any possession, but it's to me, the way I rationalize it is based on what I just said. I think they thought the whistle was about to blow.
Sure, yes.
And they didn't think anything of it. Because you could see...
But do you think there's something to this whole idea that maybe they threw the game on purpose? Or one or two of the players were on the take?
I don't think that at all.
What are the odds?
Because when you see the goal, you see the QPR players are furious.
Yeah, and they're trying to defend.
Right, right. It's not like...
That's not all the players. That's the defenders. They didn't get the envelope.
Not all.
You know what I'm talking about?
Okay.
You only need one or two to throw a game.
You want to get like a cease and desist or something. What is that?
All I'm saying is you only need one or two to throw a game.
Wait,
you ain't got to put a whole squad.
Alexis is like, look, I don't like the guy, but Tucker Carlson got some points, you know?
Never said those words. Never said those words. All I'm saying is, look, I don't think they did throw the game. A possibility.
I'm just putting it out there. I think that's a wild. I wouldn't call it an accusation from Wayne Rooney.
Joey Gusto put Wayne Rooney is at all the Q football meetings. Rooney definitely in some of those Queverton Facebook groups Christian was talking about last week.
That's right. Okay, those are my people.
All right, let them go.
I don't think Wayne Rooney's deliberately making an accusation, but he is definitely making a...
He's casting doubt.
Yeah.
Which is better than making an accusation, because then you can't get in trouble.
He's inferring.
Like his wife.
Yeah. What are the latest details on that?
Bro, it was... Rebecca Vardy was the one who called this trial. She was the one who insisted on it. And mm-hmm. then they read through her WhatsApp.
Right.
Damn.
So I know there's been a couple journalists that are... they're calling it Wagatha... Right, Wagatha Christie. What's the reference to? What is that a pun of?
Isn't it Agatha Christie?
Agatha?
Wasn't she like
Tabitha?
How do I think it's British.
Yeah, yeah. But please, fill us in.
I think she was a royal.
Because there's obviously been a lot of drama. There's I can't find... there's been a lot of great details. There was one... I wish I could, I had it in front of me. I wish I had it because it was a, they called it the C word, you know, the
that
word.
Was the first thing.
Yeah.
The first WhatsApp message.
Vardy said that to
about Colleen Rooney.
You know, the word in England that is not an insult, but it's a, yeah. it's pretty bad in the U.S.
Yeah, it just gets tossed around heavy. Okay. Let's just say Pip.
Okay. But the response was generally like Colleen Rooney being, shocked that that anybody was like disparaging her. She basically saying like I didn't do anything wrong. But
you heard about the one thing that came out was Colleen Rooney purposely crashed her car while in Washington D.C. She had the car damaged on purpose and told Rebecca Vardy she had gotten into a car accident with Wayne Rooney, something like that. And that made it into the paper. So that was like the first time. But she had planned that. So that might be the one. Remember there was like the story was the leak in the house? But do you remember that? There was a flood in the house in D.C.?
Right. That was this was
the big ta-da, but I think that might have been the second or third time she got Rebecca Vardy.
Right, because so, and if people don't remember, essentially Colleen Rooney was accusing Rebecca Vardy of leaking stories to the tabloids.
No. Rebecca Vardy's account.
Right.
Very
because,
important.
And this is what's been happening.
Colleen Rooney handled this thing like a surgeon, bro.
Because the in the trial, she's going. There was a moment I think over the weekend or today, where they were explaining Instagram and how it exactly worked and what she was doing to hide her Instagram stories and only show it to one person, which was Rebecca Vardy.
Right.
And then, you know, the story about this was about going to Mexico to do a gender affirming pregnancy or something like that.
I don't remember this at all.
So this was what I saw this detail, and I'm probably butchering it because I don't have it in front of me. But essentially, Colleen Rooney put out a fake story to the Sun, saying that she was getting the gender determined of their child.
Right. Like that made it into the paper.
Something, and Vardy had something to do with it, where she basically like sort of leaked it and maybe to Vardy or something like that. And then it got to the Sun. So then she knew that the only person who would have been her. So
this has been incredible.
it's a pretty wild series of events. Like I said,
here he is. His name is Tom Peck.
Yes. I have the article.
No. He's been live tweeting.
Okay. Let me pull that up just so we have it. Tom Peck. Okay.
He is literally a massive thread, a day per day.
Well done, sir.
I mean, this is incredible.
Can you win
a Pulitzer?
A Pulitzer for this?
Tweets?
for tweets about this case? I mean, I hope so.
Oh, wow. He is really digging in.
It's wild. I mean, yeah, go at Tom Peck on Twitter. But you can see the thread here. Well, he's talking about what they're wearing, pretty much every detail.
Okay, so day three of Wagatha Christie, a.k.a. the Scouse Trap. I mean, do the English know how to do this, man? This is where you guys
Let's
shine,
go.
Bro.
Let's break this down a little bit.
More questions for Rebecca Vardy. This time it's how it came to pass that she dragged a load of wags out of a restaurant where they encountered a pap who was meant to be hiding in the bushes. This involves basically stitching up a load of England players' wives and damning WhatsApps with her agent that have all been read out. Once again, we repeat, the trial was her idea. She is not the defendant, but nevertheless, her defense is that she hasn't read the WhatsApp messages that she herself wrote. This is a quote. The reason you can't get your story straight, Ms. Vardy, is because you're lying. No, I am absolutely not lying. You weren't worried at all. So you say, fuck on WhatsApp. Lovely stuff. If I'm honest, I can't remember anything about this at all. Well, I would like you to be honest as you're sitting in a witness box in a court of law. Her defense is that she can't remember the WhatsApp messages she wrote. which, can I say, if it works, thank you.
Okay? You're setting quite the precedent.
For my future trial.
Your Honor, you can't honestly expect me to remember calling this woman all these terrible things.
Oh, wow. Wow. I'm supposed to remember random WhatsApp messages that I myself wrote?
Your Honor, that was minutes ago.
I mean...
pretty surreal.
What happened to WhatsApp being encrypted?
Well, it's encrypted from outside sources or whatever. But you can, if you get the phone, obviously you can see anything you need to see, right?
No, she threw her phone in the ocean.
I mean, it's stored somewhere, right?
And it's on their
personal cloud.
Yeah.
I don't think it's. But I don't think anybody like from Facebook or whatever can't just go and look at it. To my knowledge, but I don't know.
Okay, so here we go. We're on the bit where Colleen Rooney effectively staged a car crash involving her 4x4 Honda in Washington D.C. entirely for Rebecca Vardy's benefit, so she could sell the details of it to the Sun.
Got it. So she didn't.
She actually.
But put the story. So, and we can see the detail here. So this is day five of it. And Colleen is saying a bunch of things like she didn't expect this to be such a big deal. It was way bigger than I ever thought. But she goes into detail about.
In particular, look at this. He says, Tom Beck on May 12th said, "We're being told how after the story was published about the car crash, Colleen Rooney publicly stated on Twitter that she didn't crash her car and someone's been leaking stories about her. Mm-hmm. We move on to a fairly unfortunate WhatsApp message written by Vardy's agent. It was me," it says.
But then you see here.
It was me.
You can see here Colleen Rooney saying about Instagram. Says you go to settings and then you go into hide my story. Then you have to select all the people you're hiding from. I 100% knew that everyone was off apart from Mrs. Vardy's account. So this is, I mean, she did we talked about this last year. She did.
This was her idea, this trial.
This was the detective work, bro. She wanted to.
She'd been plotting this from day one. Bro, if you're Wayne Rooney, how would you ever gone outside your marriage against this woman?
Look, I mean, she's clearly.
She's been prepared. She's been forged in the fires, dude. I mean,
she is well trained.
She is fully baptized for this situation, my friend.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Bro. So, look, this is.
Bro.
Pretty incredible. a nice
cover. It was me. Wow.
A nice girl who said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we got her." Bro, this is a it's a pretty incredible story. If you're just hearing about it now, obviously go look back and read some of these tweets, because the details of this stuff are so wild. It really just feels like the. Look, Colleen Rooney is one of, you know, one of the, like, I don't know, WAG royalty, for lack of a better word. She is top tier.
She's Premier League WAG.
Yeah.
Yeah, for WAG, she's Premier League. She's top four. She's Champions League level. I do want to read this. Tom Peck, this is a tweet from Tom Peck, said this was also on May 12th. Vardy has recovered sufficiently, meaning Rebecca Vardy, to allow herself a chuckle as another of her historic WhatsApps is read out, in which she claims that arguing with Rooney is, quote, would be like arguing with a pigeon. You can tell it it's right and you're wrong, but it's still going to shit in your hair. I mean,
bro, look, this is what I say.
Publish a book.
I say,
of just these WhatsApps.
My philosophy. And how I text and everything. Don't text something that you wouldn't be okay with the entire world seeing. That's how I approach it.
This is why you never text me back. You know how many times I text him? He's like, I saw it. I'm like, yeah, you know how you let me know that? By responding.
You know.
Dude, this is why your niece, you got to learn this before your niece gets older, because she's going to be text heavy.
I mean, they're going to have some, like, implanted chip. It's not even going
to. And imagine, you're not even going to respond to that shit. You'll be like, no, I heard your mind note, your thought note you sent me.
It is, this is, look, she's a reckless texter. She said some wild stuff.
Bro, I'm going down.
Bro, don't let
I'm going down.
Don't let them get access. No, this is a...
I text Greasy, bro.
But to me, it feels
I also
like,
talk Greasy, so maybe it's kind
of... It's Colleen Rooney saying, like, yo, the culture of WAGs has to change. It can't just be an episode of Real Housewives, everybody talking trash, people leaking stories.
I feel like now
ruining reputations.
I feel like she's given us an appetite for this now. I feel like now there's going to be people side up who the real WAGs of Newcastle, the real WAGs of Brentford.
Oh, what do those ladies look like?
The real WAGs of Turf Moor. Show us those hooves, ladies.
Oh boy!
Shouts to that nice cold brew. Thanks for hanging out with us, bro.
So, yeah.
Why isn't this a show?
Wasn't there a? I think this was a show. Or like there was an attempt at a reality show with WAGs or something like that.
There's Love and Basketball. Why isn't there Love and Football?
I'm almost sure there was, but I forgot that. It might have just been called WAGs. Is that an American show? There was something. I know there's something. They've attempted it. Maybe just
I have no
clue. How long can these shows go for before people lose their mind?
We're being told. Catherine Tucker said Agatha Christie was an author, a mystery writer.
Oh.
And an Ice Cold Brew said Agatha Christie, famous whodunit novelist.
Got
how
it.
How you get into that world? Someone said
you go to the library.
ew, dude. The real WAGs of Cuckfield. We need this show.
There
so
we go.
Bad.
That's what we're talking about.
Nick Redd, let's go. Genius idea. We are going to steal that idea. And when Christian texts me, who stole this idea? I'm going to write back, it was me.
So incredible. Yeah, we'll keep an eye on this and see what happens. Who knows how long this trial... The longer this trial goes, the more just salacious details are going to just keep coming out.
But here's my question. How you get into writing but say like, yo, I want to do a mystery. You know what I mean? That gets solved at the end with like murder and stuff. You a weirdo, bro.
What are you talking about? You watch murder movies and gangster movies? Are those not weird?
The
somebody had to write those.
Movie isn't a here's a clever twist. It's no, we're shooting people. You know what I mean? It's very simple.
You don't understand
how you get Murder She Wrote. How you get that?
You don't understand how movies are made, bro. There's a lot of writing involved.
No, I'm down with that. What I'm saying is, what makes you say like, yo, I'm gonna write books? But like, oh, what are you gonna write about? Be like, mostly about mysterious murders that get solved at the end. People be like, oh, okay, cool. Don't invite her over
for
dinner.
You never read like Goosebumps or The Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew,
fam, come
bro.
Babysitter's Club, what you reading out here, boy? No,
These are dope. Bro.
Josh wants to know what team we support. I'm Arsenal. He's Everton.
Okay.
Oh, Jamie Boyce is in here. Footballers' Wives was a drama TV show in the UK. Not real. That wasn't a reality TV show. It was a drama.
It was drama. Okay. But there's clearly a lot of drama here.
Right. All right. Jamie right now is watching this going, what part of this am I going to cut out? This can't be. This can't be what they want to post.
Okay. A couple other things before we wrap up. Dominic said, you got a problem with Scooby-Doo, Alexis?
Man, that show was about drugs, bro.
Okay. A couple quick things. Erling Haaland's obviously going to...
Yeah, this was the dumbest video.
I mean, he's going to Manchester City, but he had one night out in Dortmund, partying in Germany.
He pretended to be a bartender. He hopped around. Not a lot of dance moves.
But he's wearing a full BVB tracksuit.
This is what... But I think this is his goodbye. You know what I mean? He's wearing the tracksuit. This is my last night as a Dortmunder.
Dortmunder, yeah.
Dortmund Pudlian.
But I mean, this dude, in a mosh pit, you don't want to link up with
him. Nah, dude, he's got six elbows.
It's not gonna link
up. Ain't fun.
Obviously, there's all the conversations now about how's he gonna do at Manchester City. He's gonna do very, very well.
He's gonna do just fine at the club. I'll tell you that. My man got the hops.
Also,
don't get injured. Don't get injured at the club, bro.
Luis Suarez played his last game for Atletico Madrid. You can see him there.
You can see him. He's crying. He went to Atletico Madrid kind of late in his career, but you got to be proud of how he was able to sort of, really take a bite out of that city.
Boom. There it is. You can see the sign there. It says, Gracias, Lucho, por hacernos campeones, which is saying the fans are saying thank you, Luis, for winning us a title, making us champions. Yeah. So, obviously, his time at Atletico was...
Successful.
But definitely successful.
He's also the perfect Diego Simeone player. Tough, direct, good scorer. You know what I mean?
I mean, isn't that everybody's perfect player?
No. What? That's not what you want if you're Pep.
You don't want a tough guy?
No.
Man,
Pep is the tough guy. Pep is the best. Pep is the biggest name in Manchester City. That's the way he wants it. Okay.
Look at that. You heard it here first.
So
folks,
it looks like you can't go there, Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Okay. Omar Ramirez.
Holland is a lame dork.
Omar Ramirez says Gio Reyna is the next to move. I mean, well, I'm going to be having, you know, a lot of people are going to have an eye on Gio this season. Hopefully he stays healthy and has a good season at Dortmund, because it seems to be that damn hamstring keeps getting injured. So hopefully
he's also a young player, so you don't want to see these injuries now, but it's about his ability to recover from them,
right? Omar said this as well. Lewandowski has said that he's leaving Bayern Munich, and I believe he's going to Barcelona. Right?
Yes, Barcelona seems to be the most talked about.
That's an interesting move, because then what do we do with Memphis Depay? Because he seems to be left out then, no?
I think Xavi couldn't give a damn what you do with Memphis Depay. Let him go to the studio, bro. The real question is, what happened? Aubameyang and Lewandowski?
Well, Aubameyang, he could play left wing.
Yeah, but he's up there in age.
I love it. I love it. I think they're both going to do great.
Average age of your forwards is like 35?
Yeah. 30,
no, 32, 33.
I think it's a great move. Lewandowski,
he's a chucker.
He's old, but leading most goals in Bundesliga history.
Barcelona's a retirement team, says Michael Raymond.
Retire champion, I guess.
I was actually going to ask you, why don't we talk about Bundesliga more? Is it because Bayern just wins it every year and it's kind of boring? Is it because they were German and we don't trust them? What is it?
Look, he's just putting it out there.
I'm not saying that's why. I'm asking him the question, so let's see how he answers.
Does it make any sense? Probably not.
Any of this shit make sense?
I think the... Oh, I don't know. I mean,
I may not have read it, but thinking of Germany, I feel like gives me goosebumps.
We definitely talk about the German clubs usually when they're in Champions League. Bundesliga, I don't know. But I feel like again, it's kind of the way it's the storylines are marketed to us in America they don't export the drama. That
they do a bad job of it,
right? You know, we could talk about like the English media and their problems and all their issues, but the thing that they export well is the talking points or the storyline, the drama, the shade,
the curving, the finessing, all of it.
What did Pep say?
What
Klopp did? What he's hugging who?
They didn't shake hands. You know,
that doesn't get over here to from Bundesliga. And also, and La Liga as well, but La Liga, we get a little bit more, but it's definitely...
La Liga, we get some. Serie A, we get a little bit more.
Right.
Ligon, we don't really get. We don't really get Ligon either.
No, unless it's like, you know, fans storming the field and fighting players.
Yeah. Let's not get any more of that. Especially because that was an Arsenal player, Guendouzi, supposedly an Arsenal player. But yeah, we don't really get much from, we got to go back to Bundesliga and talk to him.
Right.
Like, you want to be big in America? Not a problem. I punch Nagelsmann in the face. I go, right?
Oh,
go ahead, talk about it.
Write about it, okay? Write your little mystery books about this punch.
Yo, what about Germanica Christie? Huh? I'm spitting here. Write it down.
Kirby D said, Alexis, quote, suspicion rises. Jay Worth N said, Lewandowski still contracted to Bayern. He's refused to sign another deal. Bayern doesn't want to let him go.
Why would
you? He's won everything. What is I mean,
he won the league 10 times.
He wants to try something new. He wants to dance in a different country. That's all. Give him a break. Robin Seguini said, okay, so Monday's EPL, Tuesday's MLS, Wednesday's Bundesliga, Thursday's La Liga, Serie A, Friday, South America. Wow, okay.
Saturday, NWSL, we do WOSO.
This is...
Sunday, Christian and I sleep all day.
We have no time for our friends or family. families.
Who are they?
Okay, everybody. I think we'll wrap up here. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Another reminder, join the Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooling. I should remember to do that.
Also,
more.
Thank you to every one of our Patreon members. We have a bunch of new ones, actually.
Let's give
call
some
these bad boys out.
Let's give some shout outs. We have a couple things going up. If you have if you go there now, if you have not joined the Patreon, we have our video from Paris, where we went to Messi's.
Just Christian and I on a date, baby.
We went to Messi's first game. I'll play the trailer for y'all. I'll play a little clip while we pull up the Patreon shout outs. But here goes.
You know what I just realized? Messi's playing his first home match this weekend.
That's right. He hasn't played at Parc des Princes yet.
That's wild. We should go watch it somewhere. I wonder where, dude.
Oh, what a good time. Any thoughts?
If you guys have suggestions, let us know. Anywhere like where we are.
I hope I love it.
That's so much better.
My first PSG game, first time in Paris.
Bro, I'm going to be able to smell Messi. There you go, huh? Did that make you want to watch it?
Yeah.
If so, join our Patreon. Also, thank you to all of our Patreon members. Here's our four most recent members. We got Chad Henderson, huh?
Shout out to Chad. Hendo.
Hendo. Chris Moore.
We need more. We need more, Chris.
Yeah. Brahma Josh or Gosh?
Brahma Gosh.
Oh, well, gosh. I love the fact that Brahma joined. And also, do something with this. Steven Brandt.
Okay. That is Brandt.
It's a brand new member of our Patreon. Thank you so much for joining.
There we go.
Gully Squad. If you want to join Gully Squad, all you got to do is go to patreon.com/soccercooligans. You can go to shoutstous.com, and it goes right to that. Thank you to everyone who's joined so far. You got a bunch of cool stuff going on in there.
Yeah, this so we can announce this. We taped an interview with the general manager, Mike Jacobs, of Nashville SC.
A New Yorker originally, and now he's living in Nashville. Cool conversation. We get to talk about what it's like to be, you know, the GM of a brand new football club and how you build it and stuff.
So that'll be available later this week, probably most likely Thursday or Friday. You might start seeing clips. You might start seeing clips on YouTube and stuff like that. But if you want the full interview, that will be available on Patreon. So
Robin Seguini put, "It's so much butter."
That's right.
And I'm bringing Christian butter. That is Christian's assessment of all of France.
There's just way too much butter in that country. They need to chill out on the butter.
I got to be honest with you. I love every second of it,
bro.
Thank you so much.
It's acne waiting to happen on that butter, bro.
No, they drink a lot of wine. That flushes your system, right?
Okay.
By the way, espressos, €3. Glass of wine, €3.20. Guess which one I'm going for next time. Why am I an idiot? Why am I drinking espressos? Did you know it's more money to sit down?
Oh, in like a bar or restaurant?
At a cafe.
Okay, I did.
If you sit, they charge you more. If you go up to the counter and you drink it standing up and leave, they don't charge you as much. It's half.
What an awful country.
What a scam. Because I need to arrest my dogs.
But yeah, we went to Parc des Princes. We went on a date.
The video looks like we won a contest at a game show for a blind date trip to.
So yeah, Robin is talking about it there. It was a lot of really fun moments. So go check that out. Again, patreon.com/soccercooligans. Please join, support the show. We got a lot of stuff happening in the pipeline coming down.
A lot of cool announcements.
Really, really cool thing.
And
so
our Patreon's going to be the first to know about it.
Yeah. So be on the lookout for that, because we also have a really, really dope Slack channel and dope community of footy fans
they're all dope people.
Yeah.
Happy to have them as part of our crew.
Okay. And as always, subscribe to on YouTube. Subscribe to the podcast.
Hey, you know what? The new slogan for Gully Squad.
What?
When you join, hey, get in there and fuck around a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, look, just
get in there.
Make shirts. I don't know. Yeah.
We got to do something.
So, yeah.
OS doesn't want that, the slogan.
Hit like on this video. Subscribe on YouTube. Become a member on YouTube if you'd like to do that as well. We'll be back tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Also, how did you like? We were in Philadelphia last week.
That's
so,
right.
Again, shout out to the Philadelphia Union. We did go and film a roast, a sketch.
A sketch that was not written by us and also not very well received by Red Bull fans.
Not a shock.
We'll talk about it tomorrow.
We will talk about it tomorrow.
I got a lot to say about
it. But we got some a lot of praise, but we got flame a little bit from
some fans.
It wasn't
even being flame. Like, yo,
it's just
play
yo,
back a little bit, well, dude.
No, they're not here for fun,
sad,
bro.
They're here to deliver
negativity. Okay, so we'll talk about that tomorrow again, 1 p.m. Eastern time. We'll be at the stand, I believe, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I gotta send a couple texts.
Alexis is responsible for
that.
Been a minute
since we were there.
So join us tomorrow live here. And as always, thank you for the support, joining us here on YouTube Live, for listening to this podcast. Be on the lookout, because we got some pretty big announcements coming up in the next few weeks. A lot of fun stuff coming soon. Okay, it's a big year. It's a World Cup year, so we're gonna be doing big things. All right, everybody, y'all the absolute best. Let's do it. The energy. Let's leave you on some positive energy. So okay.
This isn't a church group, Christian.
Join my cult. Okay.
All right. Bye, everybody. We absolutely love you. Thank you very much.